It's 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 12 through 16. Okay. To the rest I say that if any believer has a wife who is an unbeliever, and she consents to live with him, he should not divorce her. And if any woman has a husband who is an unbeliever, and he consents to live with her, she should not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is made holy through his wife, and the unbelieving wife is made holy through her husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but as it is, they are holy. But if the unbelieving partner separates, let it be so. In such a case, the brother or sister is not bound. It is to peace that God has called you. Wife, for all you know, you might save your husband. Husband, for all you know, you might save your wife. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Cheryl Sally. She's right. Normally our Saturday service is my guinea pig. So, you know, things don't have to be perfect because we're not perfect. But I did want to take a moment to say hello to people at Facebook because I forgot to and I'm bad. But be glad that you are not here today because you could have been my volunteers. So good day to watch from home, maybe. I told my husband that this was the next sermon I would be doing. And so I asked him while we were going to dinner one night, what do you think God does in our relationship? And he thought about it for a little bit. And then he said, well, I think God keeps you from killing me. And you know, I can't disagree with him. But I think God does much more in our relationships than just allow us to tolerate those that are around us. And so what does it mean to have God at the center of our relationship? And what does it look like if he's not? So I'm sure we have all heard the verse in 2 Corinthians 7 that says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And since I went to a private school, we were taught this Bible verse over and over and over again. So many guest speakers in chapel would have this as their topic, and I just had trouble accepting it every time I heard it. Does this Bible verse that says, don't be unequally yoked, mean that I have somehow sinned by being in relationship with them? And I don't just mean dating them, so get that automatic thing out of your head, but think of just any relationship, friendships, parents. Something about the wording of this verse just seems a little too harsh, and maybe I am a product of my generation, but I much prefer the verse in Proverbs 27:17 that says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. And so this moves the thought process from a negative to a positive. Instead of saying, don't hang around those that are unbelievers, this says, hang around those that will sharpen you, that will make you better. So today my sermon is going to start with a negative side and move into the positive. So negative, what does it look like when God is not at the center of our relationships? If God is at the center of us as an individual, but we cannot show that to the people around us that we have relationship with, then we can't truly be showing our true selves. If God is a part of us, then how can we show ourselves to others without bringing him into it? So for all relationships, if you feel like you can't bring God into it, you can't be honest with your answers or your feelings on life. You can't truly show your beloved who you are if you keep this huge piece of you a secret or hidden away. So today's sermon matters to all of us, the married, the widowed, the unmarried, parents, grandparents, the children and the kids in the room. If we cannot be honest about who we are because we have not made God the center of our relationships, then we're always going to feel untrue to ourselves, maybe even like we're ashamed of God. So I invite you this morning to feel bold enough to say his name in any situation. If someone asks how you're doing and your honest answer is, well, things have been rough, but I know God's got me and he's going to get me through this, then don't just answer with, "It's been rough, but I'll be fine." Let your honesty bring God into everyday conversations. If God is such an important piece of your life, then show it. Bring him into everything if he is your everything. So a negative leaning towards the positive, what about those of us that are unequally yoked? Can two people walk together if they are going different directions? Paul answers this nicely in our scripture today. He is speaking specifically of a spouse relationship, but I invite you to hear it as any relationship. Just because you are going different directions does not mean that you give up on each other. And I bring this up today because I know now more than ever, more and more believers are unequally yoked in their relationship. And I don't just mean your significant other, but in your friendships, your coworkers, maybe even family members. So I want you to hear the hope in these words this morning. No matter if it is your husband, your wife, your best friend, your son, your granddaughter, whoever it is that you have a relationship with who does not know Jesus as their personal Savior, hear the hope that you bring holiness into that relationship. If you are embodying Christ's love to that person, then you are having an influence, even if that person never says it to you. So if God is at our center, then we bring him into relationships. And I love our Bible verse today because it speaks hope to those of us who have a beloved that is not a full-hearted Christian. Rather than, well, try not to associate with them, this verse recognizes that we already love them. We have some sort of relationship with them. And through that, we don't want to just walk away from them because of their lack of faith. This verse empathizes with us, and it sees us as feeling humans and gives us a hope to cling to. Verse 14 and 16 say, "For the unbelieving husband is made holy through his wife, and the unbelieving wife is made holy through her husband." Wife, for all you know, you might save your husband. Husband, for all you know, you might save your wife. If God is truly at our center, then others will see it. And only God knows if our Christ-like love will help bring our beloved into a relationship with God. But we can have hope that God's love will at least shine through our love. And remember, a couple weeks ago, we talked about the seeds that we were planting. Who knows how many times it will take for us to say to them that God loves them. But if little by little we bring God into the conversation through our actions or our honesty about our relationship with God, we are stating that God is an important piece of us. So in a marriage, you commit to love each other until you die. And through those days, maybe God becomes the central piece to you. Your relationship deepens. Don't be afraid to show your spirituality to your spouse. And in a friendship, don't be afraid to tell your friends, "You know, I've been going to this church and we just started this study. Let me tell you what I've learned about God." And if you have a child or a parent that is not a believer, don't be afraid to show them how important you think God is. And don't feel like you can't tell them how much God loves them. The Holy Spirit is already seeking the unbelievers in our lives to come to God. We are merely a piece in God's bigger plan. And if you don't feel like you can say these kind of things to your beloved, just pray for them. When I was younger, I truly doubted the act of prayer because I never felt like I was going to get a response. But now I'm a little bit older and I can tell you, know that your prayers are being heard. Don't expect an immediate response, but continue to pray for your beloved and that someday they will open themselves up to God and make him the center of their lives too. But let's remember the old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't force it to drink. But you can only inspire them. In the story of Jesus meeting the woman at the well in John 4, Jesus tells her who he is, and she runs off into a town full of people that don't like her. She was a sinner who they looked down on, and so that means she did not have a good relationship with them, but still she ran into this town, and she told everyone who Jesus was and what he said to her. Through her inspiration, they came to see Jesus for themselves. And in John 4, 39 through 42, it says, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed for 2 days. Because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. So hear the hope in those final words there. We no longer believe just because of what you said. We have come to see it for ourselves, and we know now that this man is the Savior of the world. We listened to you. We were inspired by you, and so we sought for ourselves, and now we know Jesus as our own Savior. And I know that we all want to see our beloveds that don't know him come to know him the way that we do. So if you have a beloved that does not know Jesus today, have hope and be a witness in your relationship. Pray for them. Pray that they will open their heart to God, that God will open their eyes to see his love through you, and pray that God will guide you to how to speak his love to them. So to our positive, how can you keep God at the center of your relationship once you have him? Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. When you have God in the center of your relationship, you are sharpening one another. You make each other better. You hold each other accountable. You inspire each other. If spouses have God at their center, they can look to an example of what their love should be like. They can pray for each other and together, and they can have grace to get through the tough times. If parents and children have God at their center, then they can be open about their faith. They can pray together and always come back to God when things get rough. They can build a connection based around their faith. If friends have God at their center, they can hold each other accountable. They can help each other remember who's got them when life is getting rough. And they can pray for each other in the highs and in the lows. So did you hear anything in those examples that was exactly the same? No matter the relationship type, you can always pray together. And this is not necessarily an easy thing to ask, because for many of us, prayer is a personal thing. So when we pray out loud, we can feel uncomfortable, maybe even exposed. But by praying together, you are showing each other your truest feelings. So the beloved that you are thinking about right now, the friend, the grandchild, the spouse, the parent, have you ever prayed out loud together? I encourage you to invite God to be at the center of your relationship by coming together in prayer. There are many other ways to have God at the center of your relationship. Another one would be to do a devotional or a Bible study, even just reading the Bible together. But for devotional items, I would first recommend you seek to find your love language. You can get the book, you can look it up online, there's a quiz you take, and it tells you how you love others and how you best want to be loved in return. Even if you're not married, it is nice to know how you speak love to the relationships around you. And it'll help you determine what kind of activities you should do together to bring God into the relationship. There is a really interesting devotional based off of the movie Fireproof. It's called The Love Dare. It is for spouses to go through together, but you go through it separately, and it just encourages you to think about your spouse in new or different ways, and it encourages you ways to pray for them about things that maybe you have forgotten about or you're not paying much attention to anymore. If you are single, there are many devotionals that can help you build a deeper relationship with God. And these are going to inspire conversations that you can then have with your friends around you. Start that conversation with someone and find that listening ear that's going to hear what you're discovering about God. If you are empty nesters, there are devotional books out there that will help you move from we've been taking care of the kids to how do we come back together now and take care of just the two of us. And parents, there are so many devotionals out there for you specifically, but what can you do to bring God into the center of you and your child's relationship? I invite you this morning to maybe think about making a family Bible time. And I know that sounds a little bit like a fantasy because our life is so busy. How would we ever find time for that? But just imagine what kind of a statement that would make. Your family wants God at the center, and so you set aside 10 minutes a day, maybe even a couple times a week, where you come together around the Bible, you read a passage together, and then you just discuss it with each other. You don't have to be a theologian to discuss your faith with your child. Just give them the space to ask you about your faith, and then you can build your faith together. And it shows your child how important the scripture and God is to you. So wherever you are in life, whatever relationship you've been thinking about, I encourage you to find a way to bring God into that, where you and your beloved can come to him together. If your beloved does not have the same faith as you, I encourage you to just continue showing your faith to them. And the most important thing you can hear today is God loves you. And if you love God, let that love show to those around you. Don't be ashamed to say how you truly feel just because you're worried it'll bring your faith into it or expose it. Be brave and just bring God into it. And just have the hope that he's going to take it from there. Would you pray with me? Lord, some of us are blessed to be surrounded by beloveds that know you just as we do. Would you strengthen our relationship by reminding us this week to bring you into it? Would you guide us to find a devotional or a prayer time together? But Lord, some of us have beloveds who do not know you in the same way that we do. And God, we know you are a seeking God and you are already calling to them. We know that you love them so deeply. So Lord, would you use us to show that love to them? Would you encourage us to see moments where we can bring you into the relationship? In your name, amen.